The precious and sacred time of hearing scripture. Our scripture today is from Isaiah 54 to 9a. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I have offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord.
Well, this morning we're continuing our Lenten series from our ways to God's ways. Today it's moving from power over towards power with and power for. So I'd like to share some thoughts with you in that regard based on these scriptures. I looked up the word power in the dictionary, and it gave two key understandings of power. One is to have the strength to accomplish something. And the other is to have the strength to be able to influence others. So the strength of the capacity to complete things, to accomplish things, but also the power to influence how things are going to turn out. So just keep that in mind as we go along. I think we would all say we desire some level of power in our lives. It doesn't feel good to feel ineffective, to feel like we're not able to accomplish anything, to feel like we have no influence over other people or influence over the situations of this life. It doesn't feel good to be overrun by others or to be overrun by circumstances in our lives. I think the people of Jesus, they felt some of that powerlessness in their lives as the Romans ruled over them. But on the other side of things, in our lives, as the power meter goes up and up and up, as we're able to accomplish more and more, as our capabilities increase, as we have more and more influence, our tendency or our temptation is to try to take control over things, to dominate, to use all of this power and capacity for our own purposes or for what we think is best. Or as we would describe it in our series here, to have power over others, or to have power over our circumstances. And even if we would describe ourselves as having a person who's not very powerful, we still can have that tendency to try to control things as much as possible, to control others around us, to control our circumstances in one way or another, so that it works out best for us or for what we think is right. The word I'd like to especially use this morning to think about this is the idea of grasping, of really taking hold of something. In Philippians 2, when Paul writes, we should have the mind of Christ. And it says about Jesus that he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. And that's a really powerful word, meaning to seize, to take hold of something in a powerful way, by an open display of force even. But Jesus, instead of seizing control, seizing his destiny, taking destiny in his own hand, he was able to let go, to empty himself, to become humble and obedient, even unto the cross. In another part of the gospel, it says, when Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force, it's that same word, like to seize him, to take him, and to make him king, he withdrew again in the mountains by himself. So again, the move of the crowd was to seize him and for Jesus himself to seize control of things. Jesus, just take over here. You have the power to accomplish the things that we'd like you to accomplish. And who more than Jesus could overpower to accomplish his purposes? Like, what other person walked this earth that had so much, capacity to just take over and have his way? And it just, as I was thinking about this sermon this week, just thinking about our God, who we describe as omnipotent, having all power, being able to speak and creation comes into being. You know, a Jesus who can just command the wind and the waves to stop and there's complete calm and peace. Or Jesus commanding an evil spirit to leave a person and violently it leaves and leaves that person at peace. You know, the God who has all power is able to restrain that power in love. You know, we talk about the more power we get, the more it corrupts. God, who has all power, is able to accomplish all things, is able to restrain that power, to love us, to have power for and to have power with. So I want to look at the triumphant entry a little bit more. Today is Palm Sunday, and especially from Luke's Gospel. And in Luke's Gospel, actually, it's the one Gospel account of this triumphant entry where palms aren't mentioned, actually. But still, all of the same ingredients of this triumphant entry. But here in this circumstance, Jesus is deliberate to enact this triumphant entry of a king. You know, he's really deliberate, calling upon his disciples to go find this colt that has never been ridden and bring it. He sits on it. People spread their cloaks along the way. The whole multitude of the disciples begins to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen. In Luke's Gospel, just before this, Jesus had healed these two blind men in Jericho. In John's Gospel, Jesus just came off of raising Lazarus from the dead. And so there's this great buzz about Jesus, who's showing these signs of being the Messiah. That's exactly what they were looking for. These signs of the dead being raised, the blind seeing. And they call out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Quoting Psalm 118, where the King enters triumphantly into Jerusalem and goes to the temple and offers worship to God. And you can think about this. If you can think of anything, let me know. But it seems that this is one of the few times, maybe the only time, where Jesus allows such a public display, allowing people to glorify him as king, as the one they were looking for. Usually he would want to kind of tamp that down a little bit. But the time is right for him to accomplish his purposes. And really, in the minds of the people, the time is right for him to seize power over others. This is time for Jesus finally to rise up as their Messiah, to overwhelm the Romans, to reign triumphantly, and to reign righteously over Israel. Now is the time to have power over others. As Jesus is kind of choreographing all this, or calling his disciples to get this donkey, it just reminds me, at my first church, I wanted to do it up on Palm Sunday, and actually got a pony. It wasn't a donkey colt, but it was a pony. Someone in church put plastic down on the aisles, you know, down the aisle and out the door. Got a pony from someone at church, and we're all set. And time comes for the worship service. Somebody comes up to me and says, "The pony's gone. It's gone. It ran home. Actually, they lived about a mile or two down the road. It's gone." So all my plans are dashed. So I'm, you know, my resolve is I'm just going to talk about the donkey from now on. So I want to talk about the donkey. But, you know, Jesus obviously would have been aware of Zechariah chapter 9. Maybe the people were familiar with this prophecy, but rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Look, your king comes to you triumphant and victorious. But this, he comes humble and riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, the war horse from Jerusalem, the battle bow he shall cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. So he will reign, and it will be an all-inclusive reign, but yet he comes in humility, and he comes in peace. And so I want to talk more about this different kind of strength, this different kind of power, this different kind of rule. But they also say, according to Luke, they say peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. It's the only gospel that talks about this, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. The other time that we hear those words being spoken over Jesus is in Luke 2, when the angels appear to the shepherds. You know, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill amongst men. And so again, proclaiming that this Jesus will bring peace. And so it made me think about the nativity story, which is a triumphant entry into this world, and this story, which is the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, where Jesus will take his reign. And both of them have these not opposing but paradoxical kind of elements to them. On the one hand, proclaiming the glory of Jesus, but also in the humble circumstances of which he will come and bring about his reign. And so when we talk about power this morning, it's a false choice to say it's either power or it's weakness. And so I'd like to talk about a different kind of power this morning. Jesus enters Jerusalem after this big welcome, but he doesn't seize power. In fact, he faces the rejection of the people. He's humiliated. He endures the cross. And I'd like to specifically look at Isaiah 50. It's what Jan read for us a little bit earlier. If you want to turn to it, you could. Isaiah 54 to 9. But in Isaiah 50, God's being accused of abandoning the people. And he's refuting that through Isaiah. But this is the third of four occasions where Isaiah talks about a servant of the Lord. And in these servant songs, it celebrates the sacrificial life of this righteous servant of God who's going to bring about God's redemption. And I'd like you to listen. I'm going to read it again. But I'd like you to listen to how there's strength here, even though this servant isn't seizing control of the situation. And there's a lot of elements in here that you might say, that's just flat out weakness. But listen to this servant song, starting in verse 4 of Isaiah 50. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I haven't turned away. I have offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pull out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring any charges against me? Let's face each other. Who's my accuser? Let him confront me. It's the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? So I just want to highlight a couple things from this that demonstrate strength, but it's a different kind of strength. It's not an overpowering, seize control over all things kind of a strength. One is the servant has strength because he's open to instruction. We see this, obviously, Jesus in all these things, and hopefully us as we follow Jesus in these things. But he's open to instruction. And out of this instruction, to be able to sustain the weary with life-giving words. Powerful people, those who hold power, usually are often not open to instruction. They're in control. They've got it figured out. And they're usually not concerned about the weak and the weary and giving life-giving words to them. But the servant is strengthened to be able to offer these things. This servant demonstrates submission to the Lord despite circumstances, without retaliation, offering his back to them, offering his cheeks to pull out his beard, offering his face that they spit upon him. And his strength through all this is, I can endure this because the Lord is my help and my strength, and the Lord will vindicate me. I'll be vindicated as I stay on this course of faithfulness. There's strength in that. And then he says, I've set my face like flint. And what I picture here is like he hardens his face to accomplish what he set out to do. In Luke chapter 9, it says that Jesus set his face like flint to make his way towards Jerusalem. You know, it's great, all these miracles, this teaching, all the powerful things that are happening, but with steely determination, he says, I have to go to Jerusalem and accomplish my mission in that place, knowing what Jerusalem held for him. There's another time in the Gospels where Jesus said, I'm going to keep on driving out demons and healing people, and on the third day, I'm going to reach my goal. Setting his face like flint to accomplish what was set before him. And so, as I think about having a face like flint, what we see in the servant in Isaiah, what we see in Jesus, and hopefully what we would see in our life as we follow Jesus and as we're filled with his Spirit, is that likewise we would have faces like flint, that we would stay the course in faithfulness, that we would maintain righteousness and the way of Christ in all things, that we would trust God no matter what the circumstances, because he's our help and he is our vindication when it's all said and done, that we would live out sacrificial love, as costly as it might be, that we would join Jesus in setting people free and giving life-giving words to them, to uplift them, that we would lift others up and not ourselves, that we would not compromise. Yeah. To me, that's what having a face like flint and living that life in the footsteps of Jesus is all about. And the way that he showed strength, especially that final week of his life leading up to his death and resurrection. It's a power that's infused with love. And if God is love and God is the omnipotent one, the God of all power, then these words would be true of this God who holds all power. That love is patient, love is kind, love isn't envious or boastful or arrogant. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Our all-powerful God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Jesus lived that out, that kind of face like flint kind of power. So we're talking this morning about power, not power over, but power with and power for. Jesus didn't seize power. He could have, and this would have been the moment, it seems, to seize power. But he took the power, as he took on human flesh, he took the power that was granted to him in his faithfulness, and he used that for God's purposes. We all have been given in various measures by the grace of God power. Like, we've been given capacities to accomplish things. We've been given influence over people and over situations in one level or another. Sometimes maybe in a very significant amount. And what are we doing with that power that's been granted to us? Not that we see, but that's been granted to us as we live in faithful righteousness. For the religious leaders here in this story, they were all about grasping power, of protecting their power and influence and having white knuckle hold on that, you know, and getting rid of Jesus to be able to sustain that. But Jesus, using that power granted to him with face like flint, accomplished his mission for the sake of others. He was a power for other people. We may have little power in earthly terms. You might see yourself as having a simple life with little influence. But yet there can be great significance and influence by your life if you live a life of no compromise, of faithfulness and being true to the Lord, of living a life where you join Jesus in setting people free and giving words that lift up, where you live out love. And it just reminds me of the centurion after Jesus died, declaring, truly this was the Son of God. You know, he just witnessed a man being crucified, you know, but somehow still recognized there was power in what just happened, in that life being given. And you know, he saw he experienced the earthquake and the lightning and the power of God that was demonstrated when Jesus died, and maybe as vindication of what just happened there on the cross. But for that centurion, he's able to recognize there's something really significant in what this man just did there on the cross, giving his life. So we might not have much seeming power or influence, but a life lived in faithfulness that lifts up others can really have great influence. And so Jesus is saying, you know, follow me in my kind of power. Let me share this kind of power with you and walk with me in living out this kind of power, a power that's granted to us by grace to accomplish things for the Lord. And the promise is that we will reign with Christ. Just like Jesus, in a sense, declared himself to be king as he entered Jerusalem, but he took a different path to that throne. Likewise, as we join with him and unite with Christ, we will reign with him as we walk and live out this different kind of power. As we set our face like flint in all faithfulness. So let me just, with those thoughts in mind, just close with this scripture. For Christ's love compels us. This is 2 Corinthians 5. Because we are convinced that one died for all. This is how Jesus used his power. And therefore all died. He died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. That's the path that we can choose, the path that Jesus took. And now he has all glory and all influence for us. So it's Hosanna. Let's praise the name of Jesus. Hosanna means God saves. And that's where we put our faith. Amen.